Every month we take you to class, Grand Valley's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Today, a unique conversation with my next guest, professor in the Department of Biomedical Sciences, Dr. Carmen L. Nocera, joining in. Welcome to you, Dr. Nocera.
Good morning.
Glad you are here. I have your expertise according to the website. Now, websites, can sometimes tell me differently, but your expertise is in food science and basic nutrition in general?
Correct.
Yes. Now, let's talk a little bit about you, and then we're going to talk about bread, fruit, flour. How did you choose this field of, food science and basic nutrition, Carmen?
Well, my background is in food science and nutrition, and actually food product development. And being originally from Puerto Rico and breadfruit being a major staple of the island, I became very interested to see if we could further develop this fruit into a national product. And so for my PhD, I developed a breadfruit flour. In fact, with Dr. Horace Graham, who was my mentor, and myself and other food technologists, we were the pioneers in starting this processing of the breadfruit. So we developed it into a flour, and then, as I was saying, for my PhD dissertation, I developed composite products. Breadfruit is rich in carbohydrate, primarily starch, but it's very low in protein. So we combine it with different flours, such as soy, wheat, whey to increase the protein content. And so we develop biscuits and breads. And
of course, look where you are now. This has been in process for a while, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Then that brought me into development of a cereal. I still wanted to continue to work with breadfruit. And so my first sabbatical here at Grand Valley, 1994-95, we were able to produce an extruded breadfruit cereal.
How did you choose West Michigan?
Oh, well, I was looking for at the time I was teaching at a community college, and I want to move on to a larger educational setting, and I started looking for a job, and one of the jobs that I saw was here at Grand Valley State University, and they needed a nutritionist, and so I applied, and I was very lucky and fortunate that, I was hired. But something very interesting, my sister, I come from a family in which everybody's a teacher, and my middle sister she is an art teacher, and at the time was teaching in Fort Buchanan, and one of her colleagues, her sister's colleague, came to Grand Valley State University. It's a small world,
huh? What is that 6 degree of separation, that's for sure. Now, and tell me the difference between, maybe there isn't one, a nutritionist and a specialty in food product development.
Well, usually a nutritionist is also referred to as a registered dietitian. Of course, we want all nutritionists or all people who are within this field to be either licensed or certified. That's very important. Nowadays everybody claims to be a nutritionist and they have no formal background. A food technologist, food scientist, that could be dietitians such as myself, primarily deal with food chemistry, functionality of ingredients. They develop, they get into food product development.
As, of course, you have. Now, let's take apart for someone who's never heard of breadfruit flour like I have, you are now making this into a cereal. I know that is currently being developed and marketed in Haiti.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if you're, I don't know if you're familiar with breadfruit, but
no, I literally am not. That's out of my comfort zone.
It's really interesting. I always share this with my students in class. The breadfruit has been cultivated in the Malay archipelago, where the species is held to be indigenous. And from this region, it spread throughout the tropical South Pacific in prehistoric times. Its introduction to the New World was connected with the memorable voyage of Captain William Bligh in Her Majesty's, ship, the Bounty. And this voyage was recommended by Captain James Cook, who had seen the breadfruit in the Pacific Islands. And he considered that the breadfruit would, prove highly useful as a foodstuff for the slaves in the West Indies. And Captain Bligh's first attempt was unsuccessful, as we all know, right? Mutiny on the Bounty. He was saving all the water for his breadfruit, excluding, you know, the crew. And, however, his second voyage introduced the breadfruit into the New World. And it's actually a tree. It produces two main crops throughout the year from September through December and January through March. It is essentially a plant requiring a warm, humid climate and plenty of rainfall. It's usually round or oval, 3 to 8 inches, and weighs anywhere from 2 to 10 pounds. The pulp, which is the actual meat, which is usually eaten, surrounds the heart or core, and it's white or yellowish in color depending on the maturity. And it's really not the fruit in the popular sense of the term. It contains a high percentage of carbohydrate, primarily starch, and it is seldom eaten raw. But it may be eaten boiled, baked, roasted, pickled, steamed, or fried.
And your favorite would be?
Oh, all of them, I guess.
Let's expand then in how you are marketing this in Haiti.
Well, actually, once I extruded the cereal, I published an article on that, and Compatible Technology, which is a company made up of, it's a nonprofit organization, and it's made up of retired food scientists and food technologists, and they actually deal with several areas of the world that are indigent, and they need a staple, and they were doing some work in Haiti, and they contacted me to further improve the cereal. And so we worked on it and, you know, improved the nutritional status. And since breadfruit grows wild and it's another major staple in Haiti, and they were doing work down there, so it just worked beautifully and also provided jobs for these people. And so they started, you know, harvesting the breadfruit, drying it, converting it into flour, and producing the cereal. And right now, it's being distributed in the small villages, actually primarily being introduced to the school, in the school children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It must make you feel pretty good.
Yes, I'm very grateful that I was able, or that I'm able to, you know, help world hunger, because that's one of my major goals within my research, to produce a foodstuff that can help alleviate world hunger. And world, you know, breadfruit not only in this part of the world, but as well as, you know, all over the world, because it does grow. There are species in Africa and Polynesia. Those can either be meatier with a thicker, heavier pulp, or some of them have major seeds. And in certain parts of the world, those seeds are consumed. And again, they're high in carbohydrate.
See, has there been an award for this work on yours, a Michigan Dietetic Association?
Oh, I was awarded the Public Relations Award for not only just producing this product, but bringing forth visibility to the registered dietitian, to our profession.
That's a good thing. Hang your plaque proudly, that's for sure. Talking on, of course, our monthly class program, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, under the heading of Grand Valley State University, Professor Carmen Nocera with us, of course, speaking on her developing a cereal from breadfruit, currently developed and marketed in Haiti. And I am looking, this is, under your research interest, kind of a summary. Research with breadfruit, not only as an alternative, but also as a functional food product. And that's where we are here, as a functional food product. That's the term?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's functional. That term today determines, you know, that it has capabilities to reduce, you know, degenerative diseases. And, of course, mm-hmm. breadfruit being high in carbohydrate and, to a certain extent, certain amount of fiber, certainly will not only help populations lower caloric density, but as well provide for, and also cutting back on high dose of fat intake will definitely lead into a nutritional path.
Which you recommend. I'm looking at the many courses that you teach, the basic nutritions, the community nutritions, the nutrition and aging. You want us to eat as right as we can.
Absolutely.
Do you bring this work into your class at all as far as discussion?
I do share, absolutely. We, in my basic nutrition class specifically, we talk about world hunger, how can we solve these situations, and students are very much up to date, and so they do know. It's exciting to know that they do, you know, read, and they do know what's going on because they know about my research, and they often ask me. And I'm trying to engage my students in that kind of research. However, we don't have capabilities here at Grand Valley, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, on your list.
Nothing's impossible.
No, I like that. Do you have plans to visit the places where this is could come to fruition?
Yes, I have plans. I've been invited to see the production in Haiti, and hopefully with for my next sabbatical, I hope to collaborate with Dr. Diane Ragon, who is very well known in this area. Actually, she's a horticulturist, but she's been in, she's invited me to the botanical gardens in Kauai, Hawaii, where the species, the pollination species, are very different to the ones that I worked with in the Caribbean. They're meatier, they're thicker, they're juicier, they're sweeter, and our next project is to produce a breadfruit bar.
Bring those to the United States. It sounds like
I will definitely try.
We can certainly be eating. All right. Take home message, please, when it comes to your work and, again, why we should care about our nutrition.
Well, nutrition is very important. We need to eat in balance, but definitely enjoy life. I'm not saying to eliminate whatsoever. A little bit of everything within moderation and balance, definitely.
Right. So I won't pitch my ice cream out, but don't eat the whole box. All right. Is there a website for more information, Dr. Nocera?
The Grand Valley State University.
Yeah. Send you the Grand Valley, gvsu.edu, right. And, of course, Google Dr. Carmen Nocera for her information and, of course, class.